When the evening was come, you know, sin and sickness brings darkness into our life. It's not the bright light of day when you can't get out of bed, when your body hurts. When the evening was come, it was genuinely evening there. Evening begins promptly at 6 o'clock in the Jewish kingdom. So you know it was 6 o'clock or approaching 6 o'clock. They brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word, healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Jesus himself came to fulfill the Father's wishes and to rescue mankind. Mankind need to be rescued from sin, from sickness, and from poverty. Now, I am glad it was a package deal. Although much of religion does not believe that, we have plenty of scripture to authenticate and prove that. The work of Jesus was for sin, and one writer said every consequence of sin. Well, sickness is a direct consequence of sin. You know, by reading Genesis chapter 1, there wasn't any flu bug floating around. Adam wasn't trembling, afraid he might catch a cold like we do. Lord spoke to me yesterday. I was thinking, not the audible voice, but the inward voice. I was thinking about why some things had happened. I said, why did that happen? Why? And he said, because they were afraid. See, now if we know what Jesus did, we can put the lid on fear. Just can't put the lid on it. Well, when you read Genesis chapter 1, you won't find any fear in Adam. He wasn't concerned about not having enough to eat. Wasn't concerned about catching a cold. You know, he was pre-penicillin, pre-sulfur. He was pre-everything. Wasn't going to be much medical science there to aid and benefit him. Well, Adam was created by Almighty God. He was formed by the very hand of God. He was formed in great perfection, but he had to make right choices. We are formed by God. Our spirit is formed by God. My flesh is a product of bud and Juanita, but my spirit comes from Almighty God. God creates the spirit of all men. Men are spirit, soul, and body. When I become spirit-oriented, I have less fear. If all I see is all there is of me, and I go to the mirror and all I think, I'm a physical being and my physical being is deteriorating. If your physical being's not deteriorating, you need a new mirror. Your mirror's lying to you. But when I look in the mirror, I can tell things are happening. Now, I'm grateful when they don't happen too rapidly. I plan to live long upon the earth. But if I get old and gray, which I've already gotten gray, if I get more gray and wrinkles, so be it. I intend to fulfill my commission, live long upon the earth. I will not be in the same physical form I was at 22. But my heart, my spirit man, will be full of God, fully acquainted with God, walk in the Word of God, walk in the Spirit, walk in the love of God, and my spirit can dominate the physical body that's deteriorating and bring me a successful life to journey's end. I said, I believe I told you, I was praying for some elderly people, and I heard these words in my heart. It will be a grand finale and not an oh my golly. Now, without becoming acquainted with the spirit man, this man on the inside, I fall into fear. I can tell my health is failing, or I can tell my body is deteriorating. You know, very few people, I guess there are some, I've seen a few, but very few people are as slim as they were at 22. That alone is depressing. Is it not? Amen. And I don't know if you want to be thin and wrinkled. Are fat and unwrinkled. Do you know? Seems to be a choice. I saw a lady the other day, and I hadn't seen her in a while, and I said, you are really thin. She said, no, I'm not thin. I weigh the same I've always weighed. And I looked at her, and I thought, she looks thin. Now, if you wear black, you look thin. You know, you wear dark green, you look thin. If your clothes match from top to bottom, red on red makes you look thinner. Black on black, that's why I do some of that. I am not dumb. I've seen myself on video, and I do need all the help I can get. And I have lost 30 pounds or so, and I'm not finished, I don't think, if I can keep my mouth shut. But we do some things to help ourselves in the natural. Well, the thing that you can do to help yourself is become fully acquainted with this spirit man and know this spirit man is going to dominate. It's in the spirit that you're going to be successful. It's in the spirit you're going to be put over. And as I know my spirit man, that's where the Holy Ghost lives. He's not in my mind. And it's not with reason and logic that I'm going to walk in health. It's not because I can read and see. That's the promise of God, and that's a wonderful promise that Jesus himself did go to the cross. He did take my diseases. I have to know it, not in my head, but in my heart. And I have to meditate on it, stand in that one spot, that one scripture, or whatever scripture appeals to your heart, until your heart becomes so acquainted with God. And even though your body is deteriorating and you do look older and maybe you feel older, on the inside, it says you're being renewed day by day. If you're renewed day by day, the spirit man's not getting any older. That's the good news. He knows God. He walks with God. He's complete in God, and he's not aging. And to be absent from this deteriorating body is to be present with the Lord. Now, I'm not against you doing everything that you can do to maintain your youth. If you find water that helps you, you let me know, and I'll have a bottle myself. But some things are just going to happen.
That's right.
I mean, they just are going to happen. Now, Jesus did some things for you, but what he did for you is in the spirit. And what's in the spirit comes to the body. Everything we get begins in the spirit. Now, here's the spirit man. The scripture refers to the spirit as a man. In some religious material, it's called a spiritual vacuum or a God hole. How offensive. It's me in there.
That's right.
Now, this spirit man is housed in a physical body. It's kind of like wearing a spacesuit. Here's the flesh. The scripture also calls members, calls temple. You know, the Bible doesn't say a lot of different things. We think it's a very complex book. No, it's a very simple book if you just get all the right terminologies together. It says a few things many different ways. And if you know that, it'll become clear to you. Now, this is the spirit, also called the inward man. Now, when Jesus died, he died to do something for this inward man. And if it's not in the inward man, it won't come to the outward man. Faith is called a spirit. It's the spirit of faith. And it begins in here. And what's on the inside begins to ripple and affect the body. And certainly affect the mind, will, and emotions. So I'm not going to be body dominated. I'm not going to be mentally oriented. But I'm going to be constantly spirit oriented, dominated by my spirit. I think of myself always as a spirit. I am a spirit. I am a spirit. I am a spirit. Now that takes away the fear of death. Because the spirit man ain't dying. He was dead before he came to Christ. But when eternal life was granted unto him, he is alive and he will always be alive. He is an eternal being. You are eternally dead and in hell are eternally alive with God. You accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. You are alive. You are alive. You are alive. Now you don't have to worry about your wrinkles and your gray hair. One lady, she's doing a great job. I checked it out. You know, the Cumbie family turn gray in their 20s. It's just kind of a genetic, I started to say flaw. Well, I don't know if it's a flaw or not. And so both of our children are gray. Our son has dark hair. You get close and you'll notice he's quite gray. He's just turned 30. Now, when they follow in their father's footstep, my family doesn't do that. We turn gray suddenly in our 50s. I mean, like overnight. There you are. Like, I thought I had brown hair. But Wayne's family turns a corner at about 22. And by 30, they're usually fully gray. His mother has beautiful, beautiful white hair. Wayne, as you know, has beautiful white hair. Joel's well on his way. Suzanne is pursuing and following that same pathway. But see, they're following in the footsteps of the heredity, the fleshly heredity of their father. But yeah, I'm a child of God, and I'm supposed to follow in the spirit, the footsteps of God who lives on the inside of the Holy Ghost. If I follow my spiritual heredity, it's going to make a difference in my body. It's going to make a difference in my mind. My mind is to be renewed because the thoughts I have in my mind came from my field of orientation. orientation from what I have seen and what I have felt, where I was raised, what my mama said, what my aunt said, what some relative said, what school teachers said. And all of those factors come into my mind and form the person, the mental acumen that's in here. But it could be wrong data. So I have to look to the Spirit in order to renew my mind, in order to replace this accumulation of facts and data over a multitude of years that wasn't accurate to the Scripture, because I want every blessing, every benefit of the Scripture, and I want to be able to fulfill the calling, the job that God has for me. Everybody has a job to do. You may not be what we'd call professional clergy, but you have a job to do, or you can't do it in poor health. You've got to have health in order to fulfill your commission. You will not have health if you lean on your body, if you lean on your mind, if you allow your mind and reason and logic to dominate you, you'll fail. You notice how unreasonable, illogical God is? That's why we can't lean on reason. God's not reasonable. You know, if we'd put Daniel in the lion's den, how we'd rescued him, we'd gotten him out of there in a hurry. No, God said, no, let's just shut the lion's mouths. Not logical. Well, we'd send an army to rescue Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and prevent them from getting in the fiery furnace. We figure if we get in that furnace, they are goners. No, God said the fire won't touch them. That's the way I'm going to do it. It's unreasonable. That's why I can't lean on my mind. God is not a mind. He is a spirit. You are a spirit. You are created and born in His image. He made your spirit. When you came into the kingdom, He recreated, gave you a brand new spirit called a new heart, a heart that was moldable. You know your heart beats. Cardiomyopathy, is that what it's called, I think? It's a hardening of the heart muscle. You know that's really bad news. Because if your heart muscle hardens, it doesn't beat. Then you're gone. So God, in referring to the spirit man, called it a heart because it's moldable in His hand. It's constantly beating in tune with Him. And if it beats in time with Him and I listen and I yield, then what I have on the inside makes a difference on the outside. You know why years ago I didn't walk in health? I didn't have that on the inside. I thought everybody got the flu. My background and all the data I had communicated with over the years said everybody catches cold, everybody has flu. That's the data I had in my mind, but you know that was wrong. My mind did not ever say to me, you know, Becky, no plague will come nigh your dwelling. And because I had wrong facts and wrong data, every time I yield to my mind says, well, it's probably the flu. Yeah, it's going around. That's all my mind knew. That's the facts that had been put up there. So I've got to find out something in my heart, in my spirit. I've got to look to the Word of the living God. I've got to have new data, new information. I've got to send that information to my mind, pull out the data that was wrong, and put in the data that was correct. And now my mind doesn't say everybody gets the flu. It says, you know, no plague comes nigh your dwelling. Now, it may come real close. The devil has a way of coming real close. But if you have something on the inside, see. Well, how do you get food on the inside? You open your mouth. You eat. I mean, you don't look in the mirror and say, I don't know why I weigh 500 pounds. I do. You ate. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And it wasn't the apple that did it. I'll clue you in case you don't know this. It wasn't the apple. You have to do the same thing in the spirit. You must eat. Well, one thing that we eat is this scripture that talks about what Jesus did. See, what Jesus did in the spirit has to be planted in my spirit. And from my spirit, my mind is illuminated and my body reflects what I have in my heart. Your body is a reflection of what you know on the inside. And Christians who know what God has said are those that walk in health and prosperity. Now, it's not knowledge accumulated, it's knowledge practiced. It's not that I have the facts and the data that I've memorized and I've read and I can find the references. It's that what I know I'm doing. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to turn a corner here. It's knowledge practice. It's what we put on the inside, renewing our mind. letting our mind know what God is saying. Now, thank God if you came from a background where the people around you put truth into you. We had some truth, partial truth, and almost truth. But we didn't have the fullness and the complete revelation of truth. I'm not jealous over those who were raised in truth, because jealousy is forbidden. See, we follow the scripture. However, if you got a start like I did, you see, if you got a late start on truth, so what? I was 30 the first time I found Jesus was healer. Never had even crossed my mind before. I've never had even thought about it. One lady asked me to teach her class for her while she's gone. She said, the lesson will be on healing. I'd already committed myself, said I'd do it. And then she said, the lesson will be on healing. That's exactly what I thought. I thought, what in the world is there to say about healing? I didn't know anything. She said, just answer the basics. Tell them if Jesus heals today, if he always heals, and how can you be healed? I said, do we know that? That's exactly what I said. Do we know that? Well, you know why I couldn't be healed? I didn't know anything. You have to know something, then you have to practice what you know. You have to do something with what you know. You have to put it in your heart. You have to meditate day and night. You know, if you are, you've seen on the news sections of our country flooded by water. Water, water everywhere. You've seen in the houses, it flooded into the houses. You've seen furniture up on blocks in order to prevent it being affected. And there's just lots of water. Well, you have a book full of water, but you got to put the water in you. Amen. You can be dry and thirsty when there's plenty of water available. Amen. Well, I had to do some investigation. I had to do some checking. I had to put some things in my heart. And then from my heart, from your heart to your mind. See, healing is of the heart. Healing is of the spirit. Healing is of the inward man. If it's not inside, it won't be outside. You see, many times we come into prayer lines and all I'm wanting is somebody anointed of God to put something from the outside into me. No, that's your part. What you have on the inside is supposed to reach out and take hands with what they're putting in you. I mean, I know the word of God. See, and I'm in agreement. The power of God's coming my way. I'm in this line to have hands laid on me or to be anointed with oil, or we're going to pray together and agree that I am healed according to the scriptures. See, but I have something in me that reaches out and takes hold, grips what you have to share or to give to me. Now, my mother lives in Auburndale. There are many ways to go to my mother's. You can go the back way and you'll be there in 12 minutes. You can go down the major highway and you'll still be there in about 12 minutes. But the other day in running an errand, I had to go to my mother's, but I had to go way out first. Well, once I got there, I still have to go to my mother's. Now I've gone 20 minutes away from my mother's, and it was 10 minutes there, so I'm 30, 35 minutes further from my mother's than I was. I still have to go. And then it dawned on me I could take the parkway. And somebody said, didn't that cost you a dollar? I got a dollar. I got plenty of dollars. I got more coming. Amen. You know, don't let that spirit of poverty get you. That'll cost you a dollar. Somebody's already told me that twice. I said, but I have a dollar. You know how fast I can get from there to my mother's on the parkway, right at mother's front door, standing on the front porch, 17 minutes. Probably save dollars worth of gas, don't you think?
Yes.
Going this way and this way. Well, I can get to mothers from many different directions. I can go the back way. I can go the highway. I can go way out of the way and still get there going down the new parkway. But you know, when you come to God, there are not any alternate routes. There are numbers of ways to mothers. There's only one way to God. Only one way. There's only one way to get there. And you have to know that where? In the spirit. Now, I believe in memorization. I appreciate my granddaughter's school. They're memorizing scripture. They memorize she's in kindergarten. Every week they learn a letter of the alphabet, and they memorize a scripture that goes with that letter. I love that. I've got my scriptures, my A scriptures, all of sin come short of the glory of God. My B scriptures, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you should be saved in your house. My C scripture is children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We're down to K, which is keep your tongue from evil.
Amen.
That's last week. We're probably on L. And so I ask her every week, and she's memorizing, and she knows. And she quoted me, keep your tongue from evil, which is actually found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I said, well, that's in 1 Peter. She said, "No, memes, that's in Psalms 34. Now we put those things in our heart. Why? Because the day will come you'll want to say something that you shouldn't say in your heart, where you've made a deposit will rise up and say, keep your tongue from evil. Amen. Or set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. You see, I have that in my heart. Just in case I should want to say to you, you know, drop dead and get out of my way. Have you ever not wanted to say that to somebody? Are y'all fully sanctified and you don't have those thoughts? I made a deposit. Kindergarten, they're making a deposit. She wanted to play Moses in the bulrushes. Well, I don't know exactly how that's played. And I said, play that with D-Daddy. I was doing some other things. So Wayne was actually napping on the sofa. So she put Moses in the basket. See, she knows some things. She's accumulated some facts, some data. She's learning. She's growing. She's placing these things on the inside. She's going to live long upon the earth. She cannot live long upon the earth if her heart's empty. Well, with Moses in the bulrushes, remember that? So she had to have a basket because Moses was in a basket. So we got a basket. She got the baby out. Says, this is Moses. She wrapped Moses up and gave him a bottle. She wanted to be comfortable. She put him in the river there. She says, this is a river. I said, well, D-Daddy will play with you. So I went in the other room. And here comes Ashley. She's in the other room. And I said, where's Moses? She said, well, D-Daddy's watching him. I know he is. And she hollered around the corner. She couldn't see him. I could see him from where I was. I can tell he's asleep. He is not watching Moses in the basket. He's asleep. And she said, D-Daddy, is there any trouble in the river? And I said, boy, it looks to me like a windstorm, Ashley. I think things are blowing. She said, you know, it's amazing what they know. She said, D-Daddy, has the baby drifted? He hadn't budged. See, if you're not tuned in, you're going to miss some things. And so I helped her. I said, D-Daddy, there's a storm on the river. Moses is going downstream. He leaped to his feet, grabbed that basket. But she knows that, see? Now, one day she's telling me, she says, memes, you know about David and Goliath? Now, don't answer a question nobody's asking. Mm-hmm. Put that on your paper and remember that. I said, yes, I know that story. I didn't offer. See, most of us are blabbermouths. We've told them three things. They haven't asked you anything yet. She asked me, did I know the story? I said, yes, I know the story. She said, we did that today in chapel. I said, well, what happened? She said, well, we couldn't hit him with a rock. I said, well, who was the giant? And it was the pastor, the assistant pastor, somebody they commandeered from the hallway. And I said, well, how'd you knock him over? She said, we had to hit him with cotton balls. But see, she knew he had to fall. She had that information. She had that data. She's accumulated some facts. Now forever you can reach down in your heart. You know, and pull out the facts that you can't pull out anything you ain't put in there. One year they wanted to play at a family, a thingy we went to. You know about thingies? We went to this thingy. I was in the shoe store. I said, because I have narrow feet, I said, I have to have a heel thingy. Do you know what that is? And the man said, yes, we have those heel thingies here. So we went to this thingy and they wanted to play Bible trivia. I love that because I like to win. And I don't always win, but usually. So I said, all right. And I don't like to play games. I'm not a game person, but Bible trivia, I thought. All right, we can do that. So I tell you the truth, it wasn't too hard. I got the simplest questions, like who was Jesus' mother? I asked those questions. And they had these awful questions. Who was the fourth king of Israel? And I just pretended like, I know that. Well, I didn't know it. But I have a lot of facts and a lot of data on the inside. Well, I was just whipping up on them. I'm beating them. I did get a lot of simple questions. And I am ahead. And they're all laughing. They pull the next question. They're laughing hysterically. And she said, read this question. She does not know this. We know she doesn't know this. She passed the question to this man. He looked at the question. And he laughed and laughed and laughed. He said, she'll never know that. But you know what? Do you know who Samuel's father was? Samuel's father. See, we're disciples of God. We're pupils. We're learning. We're growing. I know that. I read that one time. I put it in my heart. Samuel's father's name was Elkanah. I happen to know that. They almost fell off their chair. I said, y'all don't know that? You know, rub it in. Now, you have the Holy Ghost. Right in here in this human spirit. He lives there. You know, I live at my house. I live there. If I'm not there, you can wait at the door because eventually I'll be back. That's my home. That's my residence. That's my place of abode. I live there. Well, you know where the Holy Ghost lives upon the earth? He lives here. This is his home. This is his residence. All I have to do is look down to the Spirit. He is in the Spirit. He's in my spirit. He's a spirit. He lives in my spirit. Now let me show you something that's profound. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. All of the scripture is profound, but this is profound for today. No, it's in the Spirit. What you need's in the Spirit. Healing's in the Spirit. In chapter 2, did I tell you that? Verse 10. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. What man knows the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God knows God. It says he knows the depth of God. It means he knows the extent of God. He knows the height, the breadth, the length of Almighty God. He is God. He's God on the earth. He's God in me. Now, where does the Holy Ghost, who knows God, who knows the extent of God, knows all things about God, where does he live? Where is his residence? His residence is me. Now, it says further on, the natural man understands not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man is the man without Almighty God, the man who's not born again. Why doesn't he know? He doesn't have the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit's not living in my mind. He's not living in my body. My mind and my body are going to be affected by the work of the Holy Spirit in the human spirit. I am a spirit being. If I could step beside myself, you can see the flesh, you can see the spirit. I've always maintained the spirit man is thinner. But a lady told me the other day and gave me some scriptural data that she didn't think so. But I'm going to reject that as supposition. But if you had me, the flesh that you see and the spirit man that you cannot see who lives in here, we would look exactly alike. If you touch the flesh and touch the spirit, we are of different composition. We're made of different material. This spirit man is heavenly materiality. This flesh was flesh upon flesh. So we feel different and we function different because the spirit man, Jesus and spirit went right through the door. Flesh has to open the door. You don't open the door, you get hurt. So they're very different. But the essence of life is in the Spirit. Healing's in the Spirit. The deposit, all the facts and data, you put them in your spirit. And it's in the Spirit that the Holy Ghost is resonant. If you need help, you have to look to the Spirit. That's why in every healing line, it's from your spirit. God sends us Holy Ghost helpers, and I'm grateful for that. But you look from your spirit to connect with the Holy Spirit who's flowing through the man. If my flesh, my physical being, and my mind is looking to the physical being of the person laying hands on the sick, I will leave empty. I will not receive from heaven. You can't receive from heaven flesh upon flesh or mind to mind or mind to flesh. It will not happen. It's in the spirit where the Holy Ghost has residence. He lives in here. And the Word is in here. And it's in the Spirit that I reach out to the Holy Spirit whose power is coming through this man or woman. And that's how I receive. Now, fear never receives. You can forget it. You can't receive if you're afraid. So what's to be afraid of? If you die, you go to heaven. One man did die. We talked to him. You know, in these days, that you die and they revive you. And he did die. And he said, that was the nicest thing I've ever done. Talking about dying. He said, that was the nicest thing I've ever done. And he said, that was really something, wasn't it? See, we're afraid for nothing. Scared for nothing. You ever been scared something wasn't there? Is that usually what you're afraid of is not there? Have you noticed that? You heard a noise, there's nobody there. The wind blew a limb on the tree or something, on the roof. Nothing to be afraid of. Fear keeps faith from functioning. Fear is a roadblock to what you have in your spirit. Can't get out because you have this vast roadblock of fear. Now, last night's news, they were talking about road repairs. A major road in Florida is going to be repaired, going to be closed all night and part of the day and so forth and so on, and everybody's going to be rerouted. Well, the other night, coming, we were going to Mother's. I had to go to buy Mother's late, and I do everything late, you know. Early's out. Well, I do early, too, but at midday, I collapse. I'm early and late, so I'm going to my mother's late, and we were going down the parkway, save time. I had my dollar, see? Because God meets my needs out of his riches. If you don't have a dollar, get God to give you one. Amen. I about had it with the spirit of poverty. I don't have a spirit of poverty, but it's aggravating me and my friends. I said, here, take my dollar. I can get me another one. I know where they come from. We can't do that. Oh, we don't have enough. You know I don't have enough money. Why you ask me that? I said, oh, help me, Jesus, help me. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my tongue. Let no corrupt communication come out of my mouth. That which is good. That ministers grace to the hearer. Because I wanted to say, will you quit saying that to that child? Stop it. You raise a child that can't grow in God. All they know is we can't have any, we ain't got any, nobody gives us any, we ain't ever going to have any. That's what they know. He said, we can't do that today. But Daddy will agree with you. And God will meet our need and we will do it. That spirit, see? That spirit, that's on the inside. It's the mind that says we ain't got any, we ain't ever had any, nobody's ever given us any. So you've got to reprogram the mind. We've got to function in the spirit. You are spirit, and you're inhabited by the Holy Spirit. And all information comes to the Spirit from the Holy Spirit. Now look at John 6. You know, if somebody told you some wild, far-out tale, you'd want to know who said that. I've had that happen. One day a relative was telling me so-and-so and so-and-so happened, was going to happen, this, that, and the other. And I said, are you sure? I mean, it's just a little too far out for me. I thought, are you sure? And they said, oh, yeah. And they repeated it. And I said, now you said this and this and this. And I said, and you're sure? They said, oh, yeah, because I read that in the paper. I went, John 6:63. You need to know who said that. It has to be the word of the Lord, no matter whose mouth it came through. And it doesn't matter how nice they are, how gracious they are, what wonderful people they are, how cooperative they are, what kindly spirit they have, how gentle they are. If it's not the truth, it's not the truth. I'm not speaking disparagingly of the person. I'm just going to say, well, thank you for that. And then I'm going to reject the whole thing because I know you didn't know. Well, I'm not mad at you. I just know you're uninformed. You don't know. Now, 663, it's the spirit that quickens. It's what? 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 And it's the human spirit. Where does he get that quickening? From the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside. And I have dogs. I just have two. I'm down to two. Say, praise the Lord. I'm down to two dogs, a cat, and a bird. I'm divesting myself in order to live my life. My old dog died, and she was a love. She was the second love of my life, and she died this year. She was 10. And when she did, my other two dogs fell into fear. Took me a while to figure it out. Now, they're Pekingese, and Pekingese are not barkers. They don't believe in barking. That's why I like them. Mm-hmm. Well, all they believe is you find me a square of sunshine, and I'm happy for the rest of the day. They're sedentary. That's what I like. I don't want to chase the dog. I don't want the dog chasing me. You sit there, I sit here, and that's why I like them. And I love those little flat faces. Oh, so precious. Well, after Duchess died, Marky and Lady became very insecure, and Marky took up barking. And this is new to me. She's just 1 year younger than Duchess. Duchess has been dead a year or so. Marky just had her 10th birthday, is fixing to have her 11th, I think. And she's been barking since Duchess died. Just barks and barks and barks and barks and barks and barks and barks. And we can't communicate. And they are gated. They come inside. They go outside. If I lock the gate, they can't come in. The gate's unlocked, they can come into the house. I don't allow them in the house unless I'm there to supervise, to see what we are doing. So the gate's locked. I go to the gate, and I said, "What's wrong with you?" "Well, we can't communicate." She doesn't have a spirit. She's only soul and body. She's only moved by her emotions and her feelings. Everything Marky barks at is because of her feelings, like some of you. She has no spirit at all. If we're going to communicate, we have to communicate, "I'm a spirit, she's a soul." Now we're disadvantaged. Now, lady, if any dog wanted to talk, lady does. My mama used to have a cat that talked. So you may not understand this, but lady really wants to talk to you. And she'll get right up in your face, and she'll just stare at you and stare at you. And I said, "Does." My mama used to have a cat that talked. So you may not understand this, but lady really wants to talk to you. And she'll get right up in your face, and she'll just stare at you and stare at you. And I said, "What is it? What is it? Do you need to eat? I fed you already. You had your breakfast." And she'll go. She has these huge eyes, you know. And she's persistent. I mean, she is not going to leave until you read her mind. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. Well, one day, Marky, who is not a great communicator, she just barks. She's standing at the kitchen sink looking up like this because they're really tiny. Now, I'm pretty smart here. I passed that and I saw that and I thought, she doesn't normally do that. Then it hit me. Must not be any water in the water bowl. So I went out the back door. Water bowl's empty. She's standing at the kitchen sink. She's pretty smart. She's smarter than I thought. She figured out there's water. Usually there's water up there. Now, all I have to do to meet her need is to get the pitcher, take the water out, put it in the water bowl. Let her out. I call her. You have to call her and call her and call her because she's gone deaf in her old age. She hears very little. This is how we do it at the house. I mean, it's hysterical. "Marky, come on out. Come on, girl. Come on. Come here." And lady looks at you like, "You are hurting my ears." And she's slow. See, she's a physical being with a mind. And she's deteriorating. So you thought I'd forgot, hadn't you? She's deteriorating, quite obviously so. Well, at night, she goes to sleep early, and if she doesn't go get in her bed, you have to go get her and tap her, you know, to get her to go out, to get her up, because she doesn't hear you. And when you tap her, she feels, see, and she goes, and then you say, "It's bedtime!" Or if you just hit her on the rear, you know, gently, and scoot her, and she'll go, and she'll stop. And then you hit her again. She go and stop. And you hit her again all the way to the kennel to shut the gate. That's what Christians do. They go, "Great word." And the preacher has to come along and hit you again. "Oh, that was good, wasn't it?" You keep falling asleep. Somebody has to get behind you with a broom. Now, we live in the woods and we have snakes. Another day going out the back door is a snake, you know, about 6 inches long. I don't know one snake from the other. My motto is only good snake's a dead one. I don't care if they're black, white, pink, or green, long or short, fat or skinny, you're out of here. But I didn't have a weapon. So I hollered, there was a lady in the house. I said, "Bring me something, there's a snake." So here she comes with the broom. He loved it. He loved it. He was so excited, you know. He looked up at us and said, "You can't get me." And I knew we can't get you with that broom. I knew that. But we wanted to get him. See, the devil is going to try to defeat me. My flesh is going to try to defeat me. My mind is going to try to defeat me. If I don't look to my spirit where the Holy Ghost lives, if I'm not full of Him, then I've got no weapons with which to defeat him. If I'm riding in my flesh and all I've done is feed my flesh and feed my mind, and the facts and the data are scrambled and I'm confused and I'm not solid. And the word says, it says we're supposed to be settled, established. And the only thing that settles you and establishes you is the revelation the Holy Spirit brings to you, your human spirit, and your meditation in that until you've got such a deposit on the inside of you. Then you're equipped so you have weaponry to defeat the devil when he comes against your body, comes against your mind. You're ready. Now see, years ago, I wasn't ready. I didn't have anything on the inside of me about healing, nothing at all. So any disease that came, we just opened our door and said, well, we have the flu. And we all had the measles. We didn't have the mumps. I don't know how we escaped. We all had the chicken pox. We had colds like everybody else about 4 times a year, you know. Because we didn't expect anything. We had made no deposit. We had no facts. We had no information. We had no data. We hadn't meditated. We had stepped a few steps and gotten born again and said, isn't this great, the new birth? I'm going to heaven when I die. This is great. And that is great. And I'm for that. That's all we knew. That's as far as we come. You know, in Ephesians, it says, awake thou that sleepest. But the Message Bible says, get up out of your coffin. One day I went to make, I thought Wayne had made the deposit, but actually he was carrying the deposit in his coat pocket. And so I went to get money, and I wrote my check, and they wouldn't let me have any money. They said, Mrs. Cumber, you don't have any money here. So I got right on my phone. I said, where is my money? In my pocket. Well, you know how much good it did me in his pocket? None. Now I got to go get it out of the pocket, take it down to the bank, because that's where I make a withdrawal from, and it's in the spirit that you make a withdrawal from. If you haven't got it in the spirit, you can't make a withdrawal. And I see people all the time, all they have is a mental accumulation of facts and data. They don't have much in their spirit at all, and they think they're going to make a withdrawal. You ain't. So what do? I meditate every day. I'm making a deposit. It's not as important as that David killed Goliath and Moses floated down river as it is that himself took my infirmities. Jesus did that himself. He did that himself. You know, you have to talk to yourself. I talk to myself. You know, the world says, and they're usually wrong, so if the world's saying it, you can just check it out. You can know, I better check this data out. It's probably not right. But the world says a man talks to himself is crazy.
Amen.
And the Bible says speak to yourself. Well, I speak to myself and I say, oh, I'm so glad Jesus himself took my infirmities. I'm so glad he took my infirmities. I'm so glad he took my infirmities. I'm so glad he took them. I'm making a deposit. I'm meditating. I'm putting that in there. The day will come when a disease, you know, disease is in the world. Now, you can sin and open the door to disease, or you can just bump into a germ. Somebody can breathe on you. So disease is here. It is here. Well, I'm ready. I'm more and more acquainted with no plague comes nigh my dwelling than I've ever been. Amen. Used to, if you'd call me and say, we have the flu, could you come help us? I'd said no. I would have. In fact, I have. Years ago, I said no. Because you know what I know? I'd get over there and catch the flu. So I had wrong information, wrong data. I didn't know I could get over there, and the life of God that's in me is so powerful, it'll run that flu out. Not only will it not touch me, I can run down to you. I didn't know that, didn't have acquaintance with that. I had to meditate in that for a long time before I knew that. Before I could say courageously, yes, I will come and help you. One lady said, could you fix me some soup? And I said, sure. I said, I'll leave it on the front porch. Don't open the door. That's what I did. That was years and years and years ago. I wasn't about to go in there. Are you kidding? You'll get the flu. Well, see, you're dumb. You don't know anything. You haven't made the right deposit. Now, you don't have to make a withdrawal the day you make a deposit. You can let your money sit in there and accumulate interest. You can just build on it, see, and get more money and more money and more money. We periodically get our statement from whatever it is. I'm not the financial. I write the checks because Wayne didn't have time. He used to write them all, but I'm not the wizard, but we have money here and there. We have several different accounts. We have all the time. I say, okay, I want to take this from 1, 2, 3, 4 and put it in ABCF over here, and then ABCF goes over here to DYG, and then DYG has to be put back in 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't figure all that out. I'm just obedient. Well, if money's not in the right spot, you can't make a withdrawal. Mm-hmm. And you know it takes time to go to those banks. And it's not usually that I'm the first one in line or they let me to the head of the line. Although I'm getting smarter. Tuesday morning, bank opens, nobody will be there. Figured that out, I think. That's when I'm going to make my deposit. Well, see, I make a deposit of scriptures on the inside. It's not that I'm making a withdrawal today. But I'm ready.
Amen.
I'm ready, see. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Because you're going to bump into a germ because there's a germ here. Now, you make a deposit of the Spirit. And what I wanted to show you in 663, it's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. How much does the flesh profit?
Nothing.
How much?
Nothing.
You know, it took me a long time to grasp that. And I wouldn't tell you that I have that firmly embedded in my heart yet. Something about the flesh profits nothing. I have to say that to myself all the time. I have to say, now, Becky, your flesh profits nothing. Your flesh profits nothing. Your flesh profits nothing. Because there's something somewhere in me that says, you're pretty smart. You can figure that out. And I'm all the time having to uproot that. So you have to reprogram. I don't care who said it. If it's not in agreement with God, you got to reprogram, see? And this is where I meditate. The flesh profits nothing. Profits nothing. Profits nothing. Profits nothing. No profit. No profit. No profit. No success. The flesh. The flesh. No, 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 no. Because that's a point that I have to keep stirred up in my heart for me. Now, that may not bother you. You may be somewhere else. The words that I speak unto you, they are what?
Spirit.
They are what?
Spirit.
Imagine that. God's Word is Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the Word which is Spirit and places it in my human spirit. Would it make any sense to you that the Holy Spirit would take the Word which is Spirit and place it in your mind? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He's the one, you remember, knows the depth of God, the extent of God, knows the height, the breadth, the length, knows all about God. He takes this Word, which is Spirit. It's Spirit. Jesus said the Word is Spirit. It's a spirit entity, this Word. And He takes the Word, which is Spirit, brings it to me by the Holy Spirit, who brings me the revelation of it, and puts it right down where you'd expect a spirit being to put Spirit Word, in the Spirit. Now, you won't get it in your spirit by coming to church once or reading it once. I don't say it won't happen, but it's unlikely. You're probably going to read it over and 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 over. Well, how many deposits have you made in your account? You know, I know we're going to need another deposit because we're going to spend that one. In fact, I'd like to make one before I'm able. I said, keep that money moving. Keep my deposits coming. I say to Wayne, you got another check? He says, I just gave you a check. I said, you ever want another one? See, you can't be asleep. You can't be half-hearted. You can't be lazy. You know what happens to lazy people? They fail. You know, if you don't make a deposit in your account because you didn't go to work or you quit your job because you didn't like it, and people do that all the time, it's amazing to me. Well, I didn't like it. I think, but you like eating, don't you? It's amazing that we can't figure out you should hang on to that job while you're looking for another one. Rather than just quit. So, but I didn't like it. But those people didn't like me, I say, so? Well, if you don't work, you don't make a deposit, the day will come, you won't have any money in your account, and you'll go to the bank, and you won't even have any resource. Now, I know I've got money, I just didn't know where it was. So where's my money? In 1, 2, 3, 4, X, Y, Z, where's my money? And I know Wayne knows. But you're not working, and you got nobody working for you. You've got no money. And then poverty comes. Whose fault's that? And scriptures, a man doesn't work, doesn't eat. We need to keep that in mind. Well, here comes a sickness and disease, a germ. The devil brings all sicknesses here because of the devil. There aren't any heavenly flus. There aren't any sickness and disease that comes from God. God doesn't use sickness and disease to teach anything. He doesn't glorify himself with sickness and disease. Every time you see in the New Testament where it says they glorify the God of Israel, it's because somebody was healed. It was the healing and the resurrection and the power of God extended and the blind eyes open and the lame walking that caused people to bring glory to God. It wasn't the sickness or disease. And Paul's thorn was not a sickness and disease. It was a messenger. It was a demonic messenger sent to harass him constantly to prevent the spread of the gospel. He knew God. He had gospel in him. He had revelation that no man had ever had. Taught face to face, the message, Bible says, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil wanted to put the lid on what Paul knew. And he harassed him constantly. And you go through the book of Acts and you'll see he's in prison. He's shipwrecked. He's left for dead. All the work of the devil, that messenger to prevent the spread of the gospel. Paul was not a sick man. Sickness is not of God. You need to make that deposit. It is not of God. Jesus himself came to bring us the remedy, but I have to place that data in my spirit. Now, for 10 years, maybe more, I've been believing for something. I mean, I've been believing. I have prayed up and down, in and out. I've probably overprayed. If you want to know the truth, said, can you overpray? You absolutely can overpray. I have overprayed, I probably. You know, there's a lot of overpraying. It's because you've fallen into fear. You're looking at it and you think, oh God. And you go back and re-pray, see? Where you were standing firm in faith, you need to stand firm on your last prayer and say, I believe I've received. Thank God I've received. Well, I said that and 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 said that. Thank God I received. Thank God I received. Something we really needed that was involved some people. And did everything I could, prayed every prayer I could pray, said every word I could say, stood everywhere I could stand, helped every way I could, and didn't come to pass. In fact, it got worse. Over the years, it's gotten worse and worse and worse. If I ever thought I needed it the first day I prayed, by 10 years later, I mean, I was desperate. I mean, now I really need it, and it ain't coming. It hadn't happened. The other day, you will not believe what happened. The other day, I was rehearsing, meditating day and night, see, going over my deposit, just like you take out your bank statement and go over what you've done there, don't you? Yes. I'm going over what's been done here, what's happening in the Spirit. See, I've made a deposit in the Spirit. I'm believing that I've received. There's no physical evidence, but I'm believing I've received. I've made a deposit. I've put word in there. I've confessed word. I'm holding fast to that word. I've prayed. I have people in agreement with me who know the situation involved. And I'm just going over my promises. And I said, now, Lord, you know that I know that you perfect all that concerns me. And this is a concern. And I know you've perfected it. And I'm going over the other few scriptures that I go through. And all of a sudden, it's like putting... used to be a dime, like putting a quarter in a phone. Click, 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 boom, and you can hear that quarter hit the phone, and the dial tone comes on. 10 years I've been saying those promises, and just the other day, just 2 weeks ago, the thing I've been saying went click, 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 boom, and I got it. I've got it. I'm telling you, I've got it. I hadn't seen it, but I got it. And I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world. It's not your knowledge of the facts. That's only the beginning. It's when you rehearse those facts and you go over and say, Lord, I know you perfect this. I know you perfect it. I know you perfect it. And it got worse and it got worse and it got worse and it got worse until a couple of times it was intolerable. I thought I was going to crush under the load. I said, God, and nothing happened. And just the other day, as surely as you would go to a phone and put a quarter in and hear it hit bottom, my heart said, click, 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 ah, perfect, perfected, perfected. I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. And somebody said to me, oh, it's awful, isn't it? I said, no, it's perfect, it's perfect, it's perfect. And they went, they're going by what they see. I'm going by what I know. I finally got it. I'm telling you. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. And what I know about many of you, you haven't put the time and effort into putting healing in you. You are acquainted with the facts. You know he's the healer. You know sickness and diseases of the devil. You know God wants you well. You know it's his mercy that heals you. But you haven't meditated in it day and night. The scripture says day and night. That is what it says. And you've not done that. And when you don't do that, that data, that information does not fill your heart. And until there's fullness of heart, it is not working. You're simply making a deposit. Keep making the deposit until they say to you, you need a new checking account. We can't put all that money in this account. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Who's putting it in there in abundance? I am. I've been putting it in there for 10 years. And I got I'm so sure I've got it, you couldn't talk me out of it.
Amen.
Now, if you look at it, you'd think, oh, but we ain't looking. All I have to do is look down here.
Right.
Where the Word, which is Spirit. God's Word is Spirit. Spirit. It's Spirit. And it comes into the human spirit. And the Holy Spirit. See, it says the entrance of God's Word gives what?
Life.
Gives light. Light. Now, you know the difference. We could turn the light out here. It's fairly dark in this room with the light out. It's very dark. When you're in the dark, you can't see. You can tell. You're stumbling around. You may have made some deposit. You may have put some effort into it. You may have attended a class or two or a service or two. You may have had somebody pray with you. You may have been in a healing line or two. But you can tell if you're stumbling in the darkness. You can tell if you don't have fullness of light. It's not because your mind has a grasp of the facts. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. You can tell. Well, don't give up. Don't quit. You know what happens to a quitter? He loses. You know how many times I wanted to quit? End of every month. I thought, phew. I'm tired. See, one lady told me that. She thought I'd be offended, but I knew exactly what she was saying. She says, she's hanging on for her children, you know, hanging on for dear life, holding fast. And she says, but I'm tired. I said, don't quit. Here's what happens. If this is a building and I'm coming around the corner, and you're back there, you can't see me. You do not know how close I am. I am 2 or 3 steps away. But you keep looking this way, and you don't see anything. So you begin to retreat and say, well, it's just not happening. It's just not happening. And you quit. And if you had taken 2 or 3 more steps, I would have run into you. Because if you think God's going to do it like you thought He was going to do it, He isn't. If you think He's coming in the direction that you ordered Him to, He doesn't follow orders. He gives orders. And one time the Lord said to me, it's just around the corner. I can't see around the corner. Can you? And what happens when you come into a corner? This is not brilliant. You have to slow down. And as you're getting slower and slower, you know what you know? You're getting this heavy load of Word. I mean, I've been meditating day and night. I'm putting it in there. And the Word's getting heavy. And I'm getting slower and slower and slower and slower and slower. And you know when you get slower, you think, ain't nothing happening here. Nothing's happening. No, about to be delivered. About to be rescued. About to be set free. The light's about to come. The Word's working mightily in me. It is. It is. So what are you going to do about it? Well, if you do nothing, I'll be hollering the same thing at you next time. I don't even promise not to holler. I used to say I won't holler so much, but I probably lied, and so we don't tell that lie anymore. I'll be saying the same thing to you. I'll have to ask you the same thing. You can ask me, well, what scripture are you standing on? Where is that? You hadn't meditated day and night. You hadn't meditated day and night. You don't even know where the healing Word is. Now let me tell you how this works. This is a true story. I tell it every now and then. I love it. Now I'm going to quit. I think I'm going to quit. Oh yeah, I am. This lady had been meditating Acts 10:38. She'd been meditating day and night. She'd spent a whole week at it. Every hour or so reading that scripture. She wanted that scripture in her heart, not just in her mind. See, if you have a sharp mind, you can memorize that scripture in an hour or so. You take time, read your Bible, read it over and over again. You got it in your head. Well, that doesn't mean you have it in your heart. So she'd been all week at it. She went to the grocery store, went to the local grocer, and had to have just a few items. And it was very few for that amount of money, because that's the way things are today. And the clerk said to her, the cashier, that'll be $10.38. Now, she'd been meditating all week in Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. 10:38. Are you getting the drift?
Yes.
And the cashier said, that'll be $10.38. She said she never thought about it. She didn't mean to. She said, that's how God anointed Jesus. Now the Holy Ghost power went out doing good, healing all that pressed the devil, for God was with him. She said it before she thought. She didn't mean to say it. She had it in her heart. She had it in her heart. She had it in her heart. Jumped right out of there. Jumped right out. Out of the abundance of the heart. Out of the abundance. Out of the abundance. Out of the abundance. Out of the abundance. You know about abundance. Remember Thanksgiving? I got my turkey and my ham in the refrigerator already. Got myself on the list at the smoking place to take them up there to be smoked. Now you can bake yours if you want to. I'm smoking mine. I'm having the man do it. So I'm getting ready, see? Why? Because it's coming. I mean, it's coming. And I'm not one to overeat too bad. But we have in our family major achievers. And I've watched him. You know, my son, who's lost a lot of weight as well. Our family's on a, everybody, you know, we had this rule for centuries at our house. Nobody in our house is allowed to weigh over 200 pounds. That's been the rule. That's the rule of our house. You have any rule you want, that's our rule. Well, here we are. And finally, we were all close. Finally, one of us went over the line to 203. Said, that's it! Against the rule. So we've all been dieting. Well, Joe was really better at it than the rest of us, because he doesn't have to eat. I mean, if you eat, fine. If you don't eat, what's the difference? Well, he said, I don't want any now. I said, you have lunch? No, but I don't want anything. Well, you have to prod him. You have to say, eat, eat, because he's not always interested. And he says, when you go to these restaurants, you check the size of all the people. This is how he decides where to eat. He checks the size of all the people. And then if everybody leans on the heavy side, he won't eat there. He leaves. He said, I should put my finally 170-pound body in this restaurant with all of these people. And you know why? You watch them eat. You know why they're that heavy? I mean, I'm not speaking disparagingly of them. You know why they're heavy. I watch them. See, come out with their plate. Two plates. Usually one in each hand. Layered. That's why they're heavy. You're supposed to do that in the spirit, not in the natural. You're supposed to have a heavy spirit. I mean, just heavy. Heavy with anointing. Heavy with word. Heavy with facts. Heavy with data. Heavy with expectation. Mm. Supposed to be heavy. 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 Now, I can talk about overweight people. I are one. You don't have to throw any stones at me. I know how to overeat. Done that for years. It always costs me. And then I have to back down. And I have, over the last 10 years, lost about 1,500 pounds. But this is the finale. This is the Message Bible. This is my favorite. My very, very favorite. And I don't know about how you read, but I read with my pencil. Do you read with your pencil? I mean, you got to read with your pencil. So I brought it today. Let's see, let me just read one passage. Let me read 1 Corinthians. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like silliness. Spirit can only be known by Spirit. God's Spirit and our spirits in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God is doing. And can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what God is doing has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. Right in here. Right in here. God's Spirit can only be known by Spirit. Is there anyone around who knows what God is doing? Christ knows, and we have His Spirit. Oh, we thank You, Father. Magnificent Holy Father. Oh, it's not by flesh. It's not my might, not my ability, not my way to figure out, not mental acumen. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. And it's the progress I make in the Spirit as I concentrate on, read, and meditate, as I refuse to be moved by unspiritual things, as I refuse the ways of the world and the ways of the flesh and the way of the devil, as I become a Spirit being, reading Spirit Word, leaning on the Holy Spirit to explain that Spirit Word. Oh, I thank you, Father. That's what you do in us. That's what you do in us. That's what you do in every single one of us. You're not picking out some, leaving out others. You want everyone educated, everyone to know you by the Spirit, everyone to be full of life, everyone to have your Word in them in abundance. And I'm in agreement with them as they meditate. As they take that step, I can't make them read, can't make them meditate, can't make them memorize. But as they decide to do that and take that step forward, I'm asking you, Father, that you bring them such revelation. Revelation, understanding and wisdom, real perception, that they begin to see what you see so they can have what you said they can have and do what you said they could do. We have to see it first. We have to perceive it. And we can't see it if we're not looking at it, Father. And I thank you. As they make up their mind to look at it, to give it more effort than they've ever given it before, to fill their heart fuller than it's ever been before, that you open up the windows of heaven and revelation, understanding comes. That's what I am believing, Father. And I thank you that each and every one here to this day will receive according to their faith, according to their faith, according to their heart's desire, Father, be it unto them. Now from those who've read all they're going to read and not too interested in putting any effort into anything, Father, disturb them. Disturb them. Disturb them. Disturb them in Jesus' name, that they hunger. That they hunger, that they cannot be appeased until they know you better. I know, Father, I've had times of real heart hunger. I just couldn't be satisfied. It took me a while to realize that was you helping me to grow. You helping me to step forward. You helping me to give more time and effort into the things of God and less time and effort into the way of the world. You know, the world captures us, Father, and it says, do this and go here and do that and say that and be a part of this. And it takes precious time from the things of God. There are things of the world we must do, Father. But let us not be dominated by the world, not be dominated in the natural, but be dominated by the Spirit. And let our heart cry out. Let our spirit cry out and say, Father, 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 Father. And for each and every one, Father, I'm asking for that heart cry. I'm asking. You did that in my life more than once. A heart cry, a hunger, I couldn't be appeased except by stepping closer. Until I got closer, my cry. Oh, my desperation. It seemed like desperation. And then I stepped up closer. And there was peace. There was data. There was facts. There was heaven on the inside. There was revelation. Let them step up closer. Let them realize the disturbed waters can be calmed. In Jesus' name, I'm asking. I'm asking, I'm asking, I'm asking. And I believe for these who set their will, who step up closer, that this is exactly what happens. Exactly, exactly, exactly. They will not believe how smart they're getting. They'll not believe how quickly they see and understand. It'll come by the Spirit. But it won't come until effort's extended. Now we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.